ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Larry King Show, now on BBS Radio, with Don and Wynn substituting for Larry King. This is Wynn Free. Don, when will Larry King be back?
Are you nuts, pal?
Let me tell you what, if Larry's listening, I hope you can take a joke.
Yeah, no, our show is much better.
Much better? He's got more listeners.
Oh, he's probably got a couple more anyways. A
couple million more, right?
That's right.
Well, the Don and Wynn Show goes anywhere from dysfunctional radio at its best to streaming elements of genius from the two hosts of the show, Don and Wynn, depending on how the stars are aligned on a given night.
We're like a romantic couple.
We're like a romantic couple, right.
That never gets to see romance, do we?
Right. Well, you're not my type romantically, but, you know, and you're married, so forget it. But last time I looked, I was heterosexual, okay?
Uh-oh,
we got a listener.
Someone doesn't believe you.
That must be Larry King's agent.
Oh, they went away. They left.
Mm-hmm.
They disappeared.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm sitting here, Don, in Koreatown in Los Angeles, eating cabbage with bok choy.
Bok choy. All right. My favorite vegetable.
Your favorite vegetable. So, you started your TNT show this week, right?
Well, you know, we started something. I don't know what it is, but it's fun.
How'd it go?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah, you know, I need to show people out there that media's kind of weird. In some respects, especially news reporting media on the internet and mainstream. And we just wanted to bring out a little bit of the truth and bring out what's out there. And do it in an oral way, so it's kind of cool.
Hey, I have a question for you. It's a political question, okay?
Right. Oh, I like these.
You like these?
I actually do, only because I like them. Mm-hmm. I like them.
You like what, political questions?
Usually.
Well, the question is, I know you're a big Ron Paul supporter, and I'm curious why you like Ron Paul over Dennis, I think his last name is
Kucinich.
Kucinich, yeah.
Good question. I'll actually answer it.
Okay.
I just saw that the past voting record of Ron Paul, to me, was an achievement. And it stuck out to me so greatly that when I started to track who he was, what he was saying, he's never backtracked. Now, granted, people want him to get in, people want him to scream loudly and get in the face of these bankers and start saying, oh, the conspiracy stuff, yeah. Well, if I was him, I'd be playing it smart. He's here to help you, bring you back to the Constitution. I think that's what he's trying to do. Now, Dennis, I think he's trying to do the same thing. I truly do. Folks, nothing against Dennis. I like that man. I truly do. I mean, here's my dream team. I stated it on the board. My dream team is to have Ron Paul and Dennis together. The Democrats, the Republicans, all really based on a libertarian type of a stand that went Republican. You know, I don't know, but I think it would solve a lot of bipartisanship, if there really is any, because we know that's a joke, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so...
I was thinking that primary...
What's that?
It was rigged. If you heard that, you hear everything more than I...
You know, I don't know. I'm having a hard time making you out right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you hear that the primary was rigged?
You know, I've heard a lot of things on that, and I've posted some things, and, you know, I've read Quite a bit, actually. And, well, folks, it should be checked out. That's the facts. We have the ability. We can videotape these proceedings. We can watch the people that go in and out. We can have them hand counted. We can watch the boxes, ballot boxes from point A to Z. Come on. If we want real elections, we could have them. But they're not set up that way for, look what's going on. So obviously they're designed to fail and be fraudulent. Right? So how do you beat that? Well,
can you explain to me?
You follow it. You get enough people, enough volunteers that really want to matter, their vote to matter, to be concerned and to stand up and to say, you know, this may turn out to be correct, these votes here in New Hampshire or Iowa, but I don't feel comfortable and secure in this process considering what went on in 2004 and what is being alluded to be going on now. And I feel that this system stinks and needs to be rectified. Now, that's my thoughts.
Now, I have a question.
Because the counter always decides, doesn't he?
Hey, Don, I have a question. How come the ACLU is not being absolutely vocal about what's happening in our country right now?
The A who?
The ACLU. No, I'm serious. This is like the American Civil Liberties Union. They've come to the forefront many times for various inconsistencies. And now we have something so huge. How come we never read anything in the papers? Not that I read the papers, okay? But I think it would have come to my attention that why are they not standing up against the kinds of things that are going on and the way...
Well, they are, but check it out. It is pretty difficult when all your enforcement agencies, the law enforcement agencies, have been indoctrinated or have key people in key places. And these clubs really dictate what goes on in Main society, Main Street.
Is it hard?
Well, you get up in front of these people in the club and he pronounces you guilty and off you go. It is tough. Again, it's tough to beat them when they're that ingrained. What needs to happen is you need to follow by the rules, abide by them, and find creative ways outside the box to stop it. And that means you gotta reach the creative people. You gotta touch their heart. It is the spiritual way. Folks, it has a spiritual, element to it, and I think it will define the outcome. You gotta come from the heart. Love will win. And I think that's because you'll touch the people who are bright enough to make change happen, especially these kids today. So that's really the key. Information, getting it out there, getting the truth out there, and allowing people to have their own opinions and not be skewed by one or two opinions that are based on a money machine that really has it in their designs to continue in that.
Well, do you think the ACLU would be sending press releases out, getting news releases, you know?
We could talk about so many of these associations and unions, okay? I don't want to. I don't want to. Only because, yeah.
Do you think they're controlled by the negative, the ACLU?
You know, again, here's the problem we're having today. It's just like one of the videos talks about common purpose on our BBS LA TV page that we just posted a few videos to. It's hard to say. I mean, you got to remember what truly is important. Well, look at the big picture. And
the big picture is we're having a dimensional shift, and there's some people going this way, and there's some people going that way. And the more people that open up to love, the better it is.
Agreed.
Now, you said love will win, right?
Well, it can't help but win. Right, Win?
Well, win will love.
On the win of love. On the win of love. Oh, my gosh, sometimes I outdo myself.
And Don will not.
Bob.
Is that right? No. Don will not. That's good, interesting.
Good enough.
Don will
it
not.
Could be. Depends how I nod.
Not as backwards as Don.
I like
right?
to nod. No. I've nodded a few times in my life. Good at it.
That
I
means
can nod.
Must be.
I can nod with the best of them. I've nodded before. Even nodded off a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
But I can nod with you.
Did you get any good jokes this week, Don?
You know, I actually got a book of them.
That's right. Who's that? Your mother did,
my
right?
My mother sent me a book of jokes. Yes, she did.
Just so when we started the fight, you could pull out the jokes and switch the focus, right?
No, no. I think she sent it more because she thought maybe that it would be interesting to read every now and again. She loves to read old witty sayings and maybe jokes and things. Or maybe she thought I would like it. We did discuss this today. I said, you know, I love it. I've read a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
But these days I like my wit, my humor, my whole being to be original and creative. And to me, that leaves a lot of that in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't like to repeat what somebody else has said. I like to say, hey.
You like to
you
come
know,
up with
I, well, I like people to celebrate their own uniqueness as well as everybody else's.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you heard my line of octopus jokes. And
it might even have an octopus joke in it.
No, I think I'm the only guy that's come up with octopus jokes. I tried coming up with some, well, that was my best attempt at jokes, and I think I failed.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about the political arena? You know, it's...
Hey, Don, get out your mother's book of jokes. She's listening now. Let's read a couple of jokes from her book. Hi, Hildy. sending you lots of love, Hildy.
You want me to read a couple of them?
Yeah, I mean, your mother sent it to you. I mean, we want her to know that she's helping us cheer up our listeners and keeping us out of fighting. We're not fighting today. We're in a good mood.
All right. Okay, hold on. Okay. All right. It's actually the Encyclopedia of Jokes.
The Encyclopedia of Jokes.
That's right. Compiled by Aaron Cole.
Okay, Barnes & Noble, get ready for a run on Aaron Cole's Encyclopedia of Jokes.
Two little girls from a tough neighborhood were walking down the block to school, and one said to the other, hey, know what I found on the patio the other day? A condom. Oh, yeah, said her friend. What's a patio?
Wait, what did she find? What did she find?
She found some form of a condom.
A condom. A condom. C-O-N-D-O-M.
Condom, okay. Yeah, like, condom. Sure. We can call them condoms.
A condom is a stupid crook, right?
Exactly. Steals everything you got and then, you know, leaves it in the trash.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There is, it's saying here, this is by Bill Barner here. It says, there's a new birth control pill for women. You put it between your knees and keep it there.
Don, these are dirty jokes.
I think you're right.
Your mother sent you a book of dirty jokes?
I think she did. Oh, my goodness.
You didn't read them yet, did you?
What's that?
Well, folks, you're hearing us right on the air, live.
You hear about the woman who loved to have sex but refused to take birth control pills?
What?
Her boyfriend charged her with practicing license without a medicine.
Practicing license without a medicine. Okay.
Oh, boy, no, these are great. Wow. Hey, Mom, you know, good on you. I love it. What a sense of humor. You know, my mother surprises even me all the time. I keep thinking I know you, Mom. I love you. Keep surprising me, Mom.
I got a good joke in my email last week. Now, the question is, I read it once, and I thought it was pretty good. Can I tell the joke without screwing it up? Should I try?
You know, I'd give it a shot. I just did.
I'd give it a shot. If I screw it up, I warned you in advance.
Exactly.
Okay? There was this new store that opened up in New York City, which is the husband store. And it's for women who are looking for husbands. Okay?
All right.
And so the way it works is like this. Here it goes. You go to the first floor, and you have a husband with a good job, okay? And all the husbands with the good jobs are lined up on the first floor. And that's not enough. You go to the second floor. And the second floor has all the husbands with good jobs and are handsome, okay? Now, if that's okay, you can pick one of your husbands on the second floor. Or you can continue. And the third floor is husbands with good jobs, handsome, and great lovers. And so
third floor.
You could stop there, or you could go on, right? And the fourth floor has husbands with good jobs, handsome, great lovers, and loves children. Now that's, what's that? We're at the fourth floor now, right?
Right.
And then it goes to the fifth floor. Now, I'm making these up. I'm recreating the joke. I can't remember all the things. The fifth floor has one other attribute of a good husband. What would it be? What would a woman want in a good husband? Good job.
Good question.
Good job.
They want good question.
Good job. A good lover. Handsome. Loves children. And I'm forgetting all the others. But we need another attribute of a good husband for the fifth floor. Romantic and loves your parents, okay?
Loves the mother-in-law.
Loves the mother-in-law, right.
Loves her.
So that's the fifth floor. And then the sixth floor is, it says, you are the 32 millionth person to come through the sixth floor. This just goes to prove that if you can't please a woman.
You can't what?
Yeah.
You can't what?
Please a woman.
Yeah.
Because no one else stops at the first five floors. They always go for more. And the fifth floor, just the door out, as you say. Well, you're the 32,546,000 person to go through our store, and there are no husbands on this floor, sorry. And just going to show this, it's impossible to please a woman. Yeah. I guess I got the gist of the story, right?
That's good. I enjoyed that. That was good.
I know, that was very good.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, you should understand that. You're a married man, right?
Oh, yeah.
Would your wife appreciate that joke?
You know, I mean, it might be, you know, she would find it boring. It wouldn't suit her, no.
She'd find it boring.
She'd probably find it boring, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, would she have stopped at the third floor, the fourth floor, the fifth floor, and kept going?
My wife, she stopped at the first floor and went down. I said, baby, I'm down here.
She stopped at the first floor a long time ago. And there you are. well, at least you have a good job, right? I think you probably fooled her, right?
I figure by the time they've went all the way up to the sixth floor, they're willing to start going down.
Okay. Well, okay, folks. Anybody want to call up and tell a joke that's worse than ours? With 6:22, we got 40 minutes left.
Yeah, you know, folks, give us a call.
Get out of the playing field and
get into the field.
I know we have some of our loyal listeners, all three of them, listening. Hildy, come on, call, Hildy. Or Allison or Jara.
Number. Do you want to give out the number, or am I the only one who knows it?
I'm the only one who knows it. I'm sitting here.
That's all right. It is. It really is.
Give out the number. Go ahead.
877-876-5227. That is. I love saying an 800 number. You know, you can almost sound cool saying it. 877-876-5227. Now, we do have a direct line. It's 530-876-3222. And that Canadian number, the mysterious 888 number, does elude me. We change it from time to time, because they keep not working, but... I think we've got a good one now, so if you go to the website, bbsradio.com, if you're tuning in on someone else's stream or website, just go to bbsradio.com and click on, Station 1, or just look on the right-hand side, you'll see the 800 number for Canada. And then you can call toll-free from Canada.
Hey. For all of you folks.
For all you Canadians. We're still family, you know.
For all you folks that love BBS Radio, we want you to know that Don is the founder of BBS Radio. And if you're enjoying all the shows...
I'm one of them. You guys give me way too much...
Don, thanks.
All right, here we go.
And if you don't like the shows, call up Don and complain. There we go, we got somebody calling.
Here we go.
Dig it up, let's see who we got.
Hey, this is James.
James, all right.
I thought I'd call in. You guys are floundering.
We're dying, huh? You know, I know.
that's James who?
James Gillen.
James, it's so nice to hear you. Oh, I can't talk this loud. I'm in a Korean restaurant.
No, I thought I'd just come on and screw around with you guys if you want.
Well, that's very nice of you.
Yeah, absolutely. You got an event coming up here soon, don't you?
Yeah.
When is it?
Well, I got the one in... Yeah, I've got about three of them, actually.
Three of them? Yeah, you're going to be busy.
Conscious Life Expo in... Whoa, I'm hearing you on the radio right now.
That's weird.
James, listen. You're not supposed to announce your expos. You're supposed to tell us a good UFO joke. Then you can announce an expo. Come on, you have to pay dues on this show.
Okay.
If you don't make Don and I laugh, you have to not. You can't promote any of your events.
How many Pleiadians does it take to change a light bulb?
How many Pleiadians does it take to change a light bulb?
Yeah.
If Don and I were Pleiadians, it would never get done.
I don't think they have light bulbs.
They don't have light bulbs. All right. Well, that's a little bit left.
That'll work.
You got another one, James?
The only ones I know are pretty dirty, and I don't think you want them on the air.
Listen, if Don's mother can send Don a joke book of dirty jokes,
we can put them on the air.
And she is the only person we have to worry about. So she's a very sophisticated, beautiful woman, and comes from a generation which would be embarrassed by dirty jokes.
Well, they're not really dirty.
Yeah, I can't think of anything that's not either ethnic or pretty dirty, so I'd probably better not tell any on the air.
I once made up...
You know, those were the only jokes I knew in the past, honest.
I made up a dirty joke.
I don't know any now.
You want to hear one of my jokes? It's no good? Do you know this one?
No. Go ahead.
Do you know what? I want to tell anyone who happens to be gay, I love gay people, and so this is not, don't take offense at this. This is just a joke, using double entendres and everything, and it's not at your expense, okay? What does a horny homosexual have in common with a poor typist?
With a what?
A poor typist.
Oh.
I think you said this on this program once before.
I did?
Yeah.
You probably forgot it. Your memory.
I don't know.
Your memory's so short, Don, I can say the same joke every week and you wouldn't remember.
My grandmother tried that.
Yeah. So what's the punchline? I'm waiting here.
Punchline is they're both hunting peckers.
Oh, okay. I knew there was a peck in there somewhere.
All right. No,
here's one. Here's one for you.
There we go.
Sure,
both
about
the
human that thought he was separate from omnipresent?
About the human that thought he was separate from omnipresence.
Yeah.
Never heard about him.
That's the joke going around in the higher levels.
I don't know.
You have to be kind of a weird to get
down. Do you think he can announce his special events yet? What do you think?
I think he can.
I don't know. I mean,
I think he can.
Okay? I don't even know what my special events are. I just show up. I don't, you know. I think there's that. Are you going to be at the Conscious Living Expo in L.A.?
Yeah, I'm speaking at it.
All right. I'll be there, too.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we'll both be there.
Well, what else? If you're going to be there, does that mean there's going to be spaceships hovering above the Hilton?
Of course. There always is. You know, they're letting me show my movie, Contact Has Begun.
Mm-hmm.
They're letting me show that movie, and then they're having me on the panel, on the UFO panel, and then I'm also doing a presentation there.
Mm-hmm.
So I got three shots going there, which is kind of nice.
Now, you know, James, I always think that the strongest thing you do, most people don't know that you do.
That's if you do it.
What's that, channeling?
Even a king does it.
You know, I wouldn't just go channeling. James
has
channeled a book, two or three books, one called Becoming God, and he's channeling, you know, it really doesn't matter who you're channeling. I mean, you could say it's big, you could say it's small, but, you know, somebody famous or infamous, it doesn't matter.
Somebody came, somebody went.
Yeah, but his book has real high connection, vibratory connection in it. And it comes from a very positive source. And the thing about channeled material, when it comes from a positive place, is when you read it, it expands your consciousness. It moves you into the place of whoever was speaking, if you're open. And James has that kind of book, in my opinion.
You know, I get letter after letter from both, you know, Reunion with Source and Becoming Gods, and I get the best feedback. I've talked to other publishers, and they said they've never seen that kind of feedback before, where I almost get every other book or more, mm-hmm. I get a wonderful letter back of how it's changed people's life. I've got my new book out, too,
mm-hmm.
the Ultimate Soul Journey. That just came out.
Well, tell me, but you published Becoming God.
Now, that I would want to read, only because I've read every book you've put out, and they all engrossed me.
Hey, James? Yeah.
They grossed you out?
No, well, I'm telling you, I got into them. I couldn't put them down.
Yeah.
James, are you publishing Becoming Gods yourself, or do you have another publisher on it?
No, what I did was I went through two major publishers, and I had major problems, you might say. And so I took them back and just self-published them. And they're taking off. I mean, they're one's a bestseller, the other one's right behind it, and the new book I just released, I haven't done any advertising or anything on it. It's taken off like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So they just have a life of their own.
Mm-hmm.
No, but you know how that goes. You know, a lot of times you hook up with publishers.
Now, did you hook up with that publisher? Last time we spoke, I was walking through the UFO Expo in San Jose. You remember?
Yeah, yeah.
And did you do something with that publisher? I'm not going to say their name because if it's not good, then I don't want to say who.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I can't remember. You know, God, I've talked about five or six of them, so I can't remember which.
I thought they were going to take on something of yours. The initials were BW.
No, they didn't. No, I definitely didn't do anything with them.
You know what I mean, right?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. No, there was about three or four that I talked to, and, you know, it turns around, they take just a huge chunk, and they don't really do that much promotion, and if you just get off your butt and do your own promotion, you're almost better off.
Well,
but you have to have capital up front, you know, to print the books.
You're right. You're absolutely right about that. You know, publishers, you know, most publishers look at everything.
Look what's been printed today, and then you get the idea, right? I mean, until the New Age movement moved in, most of the books you could get were pretty somber. And I think that is a trend that's been hard to break up until recently.
Well, you know what's happened recently is because the movie, you know, Contact Has Begun, it covers the UFOs. There's a huge UFO flack going on. It's becoming part of the debate, you know, and the whatever you want to call those things, you know, those things that give us the illusion that we have a choice, you know, the elections, that's what they're called.
I forget about those once in a while too.
But it was really funny. I was working with one group, and they just dropped everything, and all of a sudden now this is fashionable, you know, and everybody wants it. So now they're calling me back and going, oh, can we get your books, you know, like this and everything else? But before, you know, it wasn't really fashionable, and they didn't think they'd do well. And it's sad, rather than taking books on their content and their merit and really working in a service-oriented way to get it out, to help people. Most people are just, you know, no matter what they say, they're in it basically for the buck and what's fashionable.
Yeah, but it's making headway. I mean, when you go into bookstores now, you've got rows of these type of books, so it's becoming fashionable.
Well, you know, Wynn, you did an awesome job on your book there. You know, I thought that just shocked me when I opened that up. I wrote a newsletter, and then I read your book, and my newsletter about the Earth changes was almost verbatim, and even covering the same information. It was just, I go, it almost shocked me. I go, oh my God, you know, like it would have almost been plagiarism, you know. If you would have read the newsletter I put out, but I hadn't read your book yet.
Right.
But it was amazing how this information is coming through, and I think there's some really good information in there. You know, everybody should be. What's happening with your book?
Keep selling. I mean, personally, I thought it would be a bestseller by now.
Yeah.
And probably, for you know, it's, when it first came out, I did a huge marketing effort on it myself, and I got results, but it was really, really hard, and because I was calling people up saying, "Hey, I wrote this book about Edgar Cayce being reincarnated," and then they would say, "Oh yeah, sure," and I'd have to, you know, there was no testimonials, no evidence, you know.
Yeah.
Now, it's been out for a couple of years, and if I call people up and talk to them, I get a great response. I mean, there's too much positive response to the book, and they can't really not look at it. It's just that I haven't taken the time to do it, do the marketing.
Well, there's some doors opening up here. I'll talk to you about it later, probably off the air. I don't really want to mention it, but major newspapers are getting involved with my work. And they want to know about other things going on, and definitely I plugged BBS Radio and.
Hey, we love you.
Yeah, and everything else. But there's some major newspapers. I don't even want to mention who they are, but they're going to be doing interviews, you know, with people.
Oh, fantastic!
Throw everybody in the hat there.
You know, I'll tell you the one thing that I see everywhere is that the difference that people are making in each other's lives is unbelievable. And communities are coming together, people are coming together, and I truly believe this year is going to show a remarkable curve in how things are done.
Oh, I agree. I'm getting the information lately. They said expect magic.
Yes, that's exactly what I keep hearing. It's a magical year.
And you know what? Chip, though. I mean, there's definitely things are going to be going out, you know, and new things coming in.
Yeah.
But we need to let go of the old
correct
programs in the past.
I think one of the biggest trump cards that's really important to get played is to get the information about indigo children out so they can figure out why they're really here. Indigo children. Because they're not, you know. Only
we know why they're here.
Pardon me?
We know why they're here. They're here to spread love, man.
No, but they have to know why they're here.
Yeah.
They have to get that they're not supposed to fit in a normal way. That's the problem. When people come in from other dimensions, it's been throughout history, they get here and they feel alienated, out of place, and they start doing drugs, and then they go crazy. They commit suicide, they get depressed. Just because you're in India, just because you come in from a high place, there's no guarantee.
See, but I know that. I know that. You do what you can do in the areas you can do it in. And you know, don't cause too much pain and hardship on yourself if you can't help everybody in every arena all the time.
That's why I built this sanctuary, and we have some incredible kids coming here. And some of these kids, when they come here, they just light up, and they feel at home. And we take pictures of them, and they're glowing, and they have orbs all around them.
They get it. Somehow these kids are just going to get it.
Yeah.
See, the big push, you know, I don't know. These kids are somehow going to wake into it. Wake into it. How's that? I don't know what that means, but that, yeah.
I think it's time to start listening to them. I just did some counseling with this whole family. Did a lot of work on them, and they have this one kid, and the kid came in, and I went to do some clearing work, and they asked me to help, you know, clear this kid, and I said, there's nothing wrong with this kid. There's nothing there to clear. And I said, I want to meet this kid, you know. And they brought her over, and they knew that this kid was very special. It was one of those kids. And I go, this is the first time I've looked at a kid's pattern on a soul level, and they have nothing. They have absolutely nothing to clear. I mean, this kid's a clean slate, and this kid just doesn't get upset. It's, you know, it's a little girl, and she's always just blissed out.
Yep, just like my children, four of them. It's so bizarre.
I mean, it's amazing.
Bizarre.
You know? I said, hey, you know, if she comes
truly
up with anything.
Is beautiful.
I said, if your daughter comes up with anything outrageous, call me and tell me what she's saying, you know? Because I said, you ought to really listen to her, even if she sounds off the wall, you know?
Kids are magical these days.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think it's just they don't have a voice. And they've got to be given a voice. And if you give them a voice in an equal setting, you know, they'll blow your mind.
Yep. Exactly.
James, do you ever drive through Marin County to San Francisco?
Yeah, I do. Every once in a while, this year I'm going to be flying a lot, but my brother lives there in Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'll take a trip. I might take a trip down there.
Do you know where Fairfax is? Fairfax, California?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you know where Fairfax is?
Yeah.
You know, if you're ever going to Fairfax, I'll set up an introduction with Matthew Edwards.
Yeah, I know who he is.
You know who he is?
Yeah.
Oh, how do you know him?
Well, he's that kind of miracle kid that does healing.
No, he does chat. Well, he's doing something which I think is miraculous, okay?
Uh-huh.
But it's not really in healing area. This guy set up a little center in the middle of Fairfax, opened up a storefront, and decided he was going to become a flow generator for young people.
Oh, nice.
And he calls it the Circle Center.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you know, it's one thing when somebody has an idea of doing something.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's been going on for 5 years. I happened to just walk in, and I was blown away by the energy. You know how when people are co-creative vibes, there's an energy present, right?
Yeah.
They're not talking about spiritual things overtly, but he's got, like, all these little flowing events happening, and I ended up crashing at his place for a few days, and I was watching it, and I'm sitting there, and 20 young people come in, and I said, "What are you guys doing? We're here. We're the Make Fairfax Better Committee." and I mean, these young people were dedicated to making their town better.
Right.
And they just had big hearts. They were all indigos operating from the inside. They never, I don't even know if they heard the word indigo.
No.
And then another night of the week, he's got a community dinner, so people that are lonely can all show up and have dinner, and they bring a potluck. And he has such a high intent.
That's awesome.
That everything, go look it up on the internet. And then I find out, I mean, I'm there and I'm just watching this happen. I didn't even know who he was. I just walked in off the street, and I had a talk up in that area. And I walked in off the street. I felt the vibes of his storefront. I said, "What the hell's going on here? This looks like Haight Ashbury."
Uh-huh.
It was, you know, it was like how people are hanging out Haight Ashbury in its good days. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then I find out. Not only is he doing all this, he's a channel. But most of the people up there don't even know he channels.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so low-key about it.
Uh-huh.
And he's an awesome channel. He's channeling, I mean, I've had people... Actually, I started doing something with him on Wednesday nights where I host a conference call where people ask him questions.
Yeah.
You ought to listen in. I'll send you some transcripts of his channeling.
Yeah.
Because we're keeping the questions mostly to basic problems, not like esoteric things.
Yeah.
The kinds of things that are real problems for people.
Uh-huh.
And they are giving the most amazing wisdom and loving answers on how to get through simple problems of being alive right now.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've watched people's lives change as a result of getting an answer to a question.
Uh-huh.
I mean, really, permanently change their life. I mean...
Well, a lot of times, you know, just the words, it's not so much the words, but there's an energy, as you know, you know, that flows with the words and a contact that happens, and all of a sudden they just get it. They go on another level. They just make the connect, you know, with their own soul.
Exactly. Well, like I was saying... Even in your book, the Becoming God's book, people, it's not about the most important aspect of channeling. Don, you know, I don't know if I ever got this across to you, but you should listen to this. The important aspect of channeling is not having inside information to secret stuff, okay?
Yeah.
Like what's really happening on our planet. That's not what's important about channeling. What's really important is that the way they put the words together, it taps you into their frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
So you end up just reading the words and lifting your vibrations.
Yeah.
And that's something for many people who are stuck in this realm and they don't have anyone to share that with, reading those channeled words can be a great, great escalator into higher awareness, you know?
Yeah. You know, when Ezekiel did that to me once, I was kind of bummed out, and I was breaking up with a girlfriend, and nothing was really working out, and I was just sitting there bummed out, and I'm just going to go meditate. And the next thing I know, he just took me out of my body and expanded me all the way out to the earth, became like a little pinhead. And he goes, "This is who you are." And then he pointed back to the earth, and he goes, "There's your problems." You know?
and then brought
me back, and everything just went away after that. So it's we falsely identify with the problems rather than who we really are, that we're these immense, totally expanded God beings, and we just think we're in this little reactionary world right down here, you know, and then we get all caught up in it.
I totally agree, my friend. Totally.
Hey, you know, I got to run, guys. I've got to go pick my daughter up. She's buried in the snow.
thank you.
James, you didn't promote your event. So are you going to promote your
event? Well, the Conscious Living Expo is going on, and then in Palm Springs in March, you know, if people go to the website, they can get all that information. But they have the orbs, the veil is lifting or whatever conference down in March in Palm Springs, which is going to be a really nice one. And what else do I have going? I have one other one going. Oh, it's up on the website. The WESAC. You know that WESAC festival in Shasta in May?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be there, too. All the links are up on eSETI.org. If people go there, they can. Mm-hmm. The links are right there that take them to the conferences. And then we in July, we have our big one up here. And hopefully we'll have Don up here again doing live broadcasts, maybe.
I would love that. I got to get out of here for a while.
James, consider having me come up and be a speaker there.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I'll arrange that. Let me, I've got to start getting speak. I mean, I have a list of about 30 speakers already, but I'm going to start weeding it out. But let me figure that one out.
Call me up, and I'll tell you why I'm important, okay?
I know why you're important.
You do?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. It changes every week. The updates.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
All right, my friend.
I'll catch you in a few. Well, I'll be on in an hour or so anyway.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Take care.
We love you.
Love you too. Bye.
Ciao. All right, guys. That was James Gilliland of As You Wish Talk Radio. Actually, you guys are going to stick around tonight because he's up. He's up in about an hour after ours because we have Zany Mystic up next with a fireside chat. But right after that, As You Wish Talk Radio. And James always does a fantastic program. You never want to miss that. So that'll be around soon tonight. Stick around.
By the way, you know, I never do this, but I'm going to do this. Since James mentioned my book, those of you that haven't read it, I am the author of the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Casey, which proves that Edgar Casey is back in the world. And it's bringing forth probably the best explanation of the dimensional shift and what's happening on our planet from what I believe to be maybe the highest or one of the highest sources available in other dimensions. And if you're having trouble figuring out what's going on, and if you want to connect vibratorily with a really high space, reading that book will do it. That's The Reincarnation of Edgar Casey. You can dial 1-800. Don, I'm going to have to pay you for this commercial. 1-800-345-NOOK. And you can call it, or it's available on Amazon and everywhere else. All right. Awesome. Commercial's over. Now, go ahead, Don.
All right.
Send me a bill. That was 1 minute.
Yeah, well, we got somebody phoning the private line. They just keep going, so. Anyways.
Is somebody calling you?
They're trying, but they're not succeeding.
Hey, we got a few minutes left. If anyone wants to call, tell a bad joke. It'll be... Probably energy.
Well, we only got about 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Yep, we got to call in the light. This is going to be a biggie.
Calling
the
in
world,
the light right now?
Huh? It all is going to come down to you.
Should we call in the light right now?
Yeah, why don't we have the next caller join us? The next.
We don't have a next caller.
The next caller to call joins us. Right?
Okay, well, I'm waiting.
All right. Again, folks, if you want to call and join us as we close out the Don and Wynn show, the Wynn and Don show. Hey, that's not bad.
The sounds like Larry King show.
Then you're going to have to call soon.
Okay. Forget them.
What's that?
Those of you that are listening, we close our show with a calling in of the light. We have 650. What is a calling in of the light? Calling in of the light.
All right,
is...
we have someone on with us.
Hi, okay. This is Scott from Ohio.
All right, Scott, you're going to join us.
Scott, we're going to bless the mounds tonight in Ohio, right?
Thank you. Yes, let's bless the mounds.
I know, I'm psychic. Scott lives near the Funny Mounds in Ohio.
Yes.
And we're going to send them energy along to other things. So this is creating a group intention amongst everybody listening. And we access the parts of ourselves that are multidimensional, which means even though we're in separate bodies all over the world, in this moment, we can touch each other and blend with each other if you want to. And sometimes you're not sure if you want to or not. Your high self will figure out if it's okay for you to do this. So just go with the flow. And Father, Mother, God, we ask for the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in this flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy, through our solar system, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. Right now, right in this moment, we're going to ask the parts of ourselves that are multidimensional to come together. And we're going to create a group energy amongst us. For those of you who are free-willing to choose to do so. As those energies come together, we can feel a shift in our space. We can feel a peace coming through our body. We can ask, some of you are actually feeling that energy move through your bodies and into the earth. Now we're going to invite our friendly guys on the other side, these group souls, these positive energies that are not in this dimension, but are listening to us right now. We're going to invite them to join with us and add to our group energy. And these are beings who are service to others, who are operating in love only. And we're going to take this energy that we've created, this huge ball of energy, and expand it so it surrounds our entire planet. That's right. You are part of an energy right now surrounding our planet. And it's going to be seeking those areas of darkness, those areas where the light is missing, like the Middle East, like Washington, D.C. Not to say that the light is missing from Washington, but it's one of those areas that it's important to have light showered down on. New York City, Miami. We're just moving this as a curtain of light across our country, from the East Coast to the middle to the West. Now we'll just take a moment. I'd like to ask you, anyone that you'd like to send healing energy to or help to, for the highest good of all concerned, let this energy move through you right now and reach that person. Visualize them surrounded with this energy and ask for their healing for the highest good of all concerned right now. And I particularly like to send this light energy to Don's mom, Hildy, and my adopted mom. And that any healing that can happen for her be taken, anything lifted from her be lifted right now. And on that note, I bid you all good night. Thank you, Scott, for joining us from Ohio. Oh, we've got to send that energy to those Ohio mounds. Scott, you're going to have to focus on them, okay?
Okay, I've got focus.
We'll just anchor energy, light energy, to those mounds in Ohio. Don, is there anything you want to send energy to?
Absolutely.
Send it. Come on, put it down.
I send it out to all the beautiful people in this world.
There we go. We did it.
It's gone. I saw it going.
Okay.
All right.
Next week on the Don and Wynn Show.
All right, Scott. Thanks for joining us. And Wynn, thank you for joining us. And folks, stick around. Coming up next, we got a Zany Mystic coming up for you. A fireside chat with Zany Mystic. You don't want to miss it. It's coming up next. It's one of our favorite shows. Stick around. You're going to love it.
I love you.